Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast. Dax Holt here. I got Adam Glenn on the other side of the line. Hello.
Yo, I'm glad you're on the other side of the line because my hair is so long right now, dude. I'm telling you. It's like I look like I'm the lead singer of an emo band. It's so bad.
I like how you didn't mention the fact that I got a haircut and you didn't even notice. You know what?
Dax, I wanted to say something. I was like, maybe you just styled different. Where did you get that, dog?
I had someone come to the house.
Wow, look at you, the underground barber.
Come to the house in a full mask, gloves, the whole thing. I got a haircut, my son. I invited the neighbor over to get a haircut in my backyard so that not all of us had our space. But like, I needed it, dude. I needed it bad.
Wow. So how'd you even find the guy?
Through Facebook, because we went to high school together. And I knew that he's a traveling barber. So I got it done.
So is he busy right now, or what's his deal?
He is so swamped. So swamped.
Is he?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, he is taking the precautions. He's making sure that he is, you know, got his mask on, covered up. And so, like, I felt good about it. Because we've been one of those people that are, you know, we don't go out. We don't do anything. And so when he showed up all covered up, I was like, okay, I feel good about this right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm debating DMing my barber and be like, hey, do you know any barbers, hint, hint, that are doing any, haircuts? Because I needed a haircut when this thing started, not knowing what this thing was going to be. And now it's just like, it's a good problem to have, but my hair is so heavy, it's in my face. I had to order headbands just to keep the hair back.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just insane, brother. But man, we've been, you know... First off, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone that's listened to the podcast and writing reviews, subscribing.
Oh.
It's so good.
I had a good one I wanted to read to you because, you
know, read that.
Now that we've been, like, reading them on the air, people are like, oh, I'm going to go leave a comment so that I can get it read on the air. So we had one. Let me find it. Let me pull up our reviews. By the way, 5 stars right now. We got all 5 stars. All right.
That's what I'm talking about. Nice
so
people.
This guy, I'm assuming a guy. I don't know. Guy, girl. It's TC, everybody. That's the person's name. Says, love these guys. Great shows every time out. Read my review on the show, please. This old gamer loves you.
Old gamer.
Old school gamer. Sorry. Old school gamer loves you.
Okay. Gamer as far as video game player, not... okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
that's
it.
That's what we want. We will read reviews. We are not above it. It's fine, man. But it's like... You know, it's cool just to have people like messaging us, DMing, and that's how you support our show. We do well, and it sounds weird, but there's this weird algorithm of podcasts, and when you write a review and you rate us, that's really helps out with our scoring and our ranking, and we've been consistently beating out some of the biggest outlets out there, and we're just a two-man team with the help of Parkville Media, just really helping us out. So it's been really, our success has been because of you. So thank you.
So thank you. Thanks for helping the little guys.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So here's the thing. So we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to be totally honest with you. We basically, a couple months ago, we landed an interview with Shin Lim, who is 2-time AGT winner. He's the sleight of hand magician. He's unbelievable. Got to know him really well over the years. Just a really great guy. So we said, oh, we do the podcast. We do the podcast. We tape it with him. COVID hits. Okay. Like literally, I don't know, like a week later. So before we got to release his podcast, we were like, oh, shoot, let's hold on to it. Because if we put it out, it's going to sound really weird coming out during COVID. Him living in the hotel, him doing, you know, his magic tricks and filling up auditoriums. It just seemed like kind of the wrong time to release it. So we kind of held on to it. Then, you know, I'm like, this is getting old. I really want to put this out there. I want to release this podcast. I don't know how to do it. So here's the truth. It's an old podcast. We've been dying to release it. We just couldn't do it until now. And I feel like if I wait any longer, it's going to be no good. And I don't want it to just go in the trash. So with no further ado, here is a podcast of Shin Lim. Just please note, it's going to sound a little weird because you're thinking COVID. It was taped before COVID, and that's really the end of story.
He has his residency in Vegas, so we're talking about like nightlife and how the Vegas show scene is, and right now there is no show scene in Vegas, so it's a little outdated, but nonetheless he's an interesting dude.
We got a huge guest today. I think for all those AGT fans out there, fans of magic in general, are going to love this. But we got on Shin Lim, who is, let's see, two-time AGT winner, sleight of hand magician. I mean, I'm pretty sure people know his name by now because he's kind of been everywhere. But Shin, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
AGT GOAT, okay? AGT GOAT, you know, because you've won not once, you've won twice, and now you're in Vegas. I mean, dude, you're killing it, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've done it too much already.
I was going to say, is it weird how far your life has just, like, come in the last, like, couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a crazy ride. Like, it's kind of overnight type of thing, so you don't really see it coming, and then once it happens, you're just like, whoa, this is a lot to take in. But then like once it all happens, you're just like trying to get used to it. So it is kind of a strange transition.
What's been the weird, like, what was the moment that you're like, damn, I'm famous?
I mean, I feel like, so my friend put it really well this way, and I didn't even notice until he said it, but he was like, so you like accomplished everything that I wanted to accomplish in my life within the span of like a week. And I was just like, oh, that's kind of like, I guess, true. Cause like every, like my dream was to like go on like Jimmy Fallon and like go on Ellen and like be a headliner and, you know, in Vegas and stuff like that. And so all of that just happened, boom, 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 just simultaneously right after. So it's just kind of crazy that all of it happens at once. So it's hard to take in and hard to kind of appreciate it. Cause you're just on for the ride, you know?
Well, that's a cool Absolutely. Thing about you. I mean, actually, we met very randomly. Well, not randomly, but it was just kind of like very quick and fast paced. And what happened, we got connected through Dax via text message. And then I just so coincidentally was in the lobby of the hotel that you were staying at waiting for Shaquille O'Neal. And then next thing you know, you come down and Shaq comes down. It's like, I didn't even know what to do, but it was just kind of fun and funny, but cool.
By the way, why did you not do magic for Shaq? That would have been so awesome.
Dude, I was trying to. I said to him, I was like, yo, what do you got for Shaq? I almost made him run back to the room to go get
that
something.
That would have been so epic, dude, having like Shaq on video, just his mind blown because of your magic.
It was my first time meeting Shaq, too. He's so tall.
He's a door.
So Shin, you just started up this Vegas residency. Well, I guess not just started up, but it kicked off months ago at the Mirage. It's called Limitless. What has that been like? I mean, going from, you know, your normal daily life to now you have a Vegas residency. Adam, I don't know if you've been to Vegas recently. His face is everywhere in Vegas. It's on like these trucks that are driving by, billboards. When you walk into the Mirage, it's like lining the columns of the Mirage. It's very cool.
Yeah, no, it's everything I could ask for, you know? Like I'm so spoiled by everything, but it's been an amazing, amazing ride. I'm currently staying actually in the hotel right now. I've been staying here for like a month, but I'm actually moving as well. So I just found a place in Vegas. So we're just going to be moving probably around March or so. We're going to start moving here. So it's all sinking in. It's all becoming real. I'm like, okay, I moved from Boston to LA, and now I'm moving from LA to Vegas. So it's been quite a wild ride. And, yeah, being able to do a residency in Vegas is better, I think, than having to tour, because touring can get kind of tough. Like it's hard being on the road and like having to perform one day and then like at night drive to the next city and then perform in the next city the next day. So in Vegas, at least it's the same theater every day.
I was gonna say, I think that's why this has been such a big deal for like the big stars like a Britney Spears or Celine, because they've spent their entire lives traveling around the world, and now you can actually set up shop somewhere and just go to one venue night after night. The money still rolls in, but you're not having to deal with jet lag and touring and being away from your family.
Exactly, exactly. And it's also, so having a Vegas residency, like, because it's the same theaters, like the same people, like, and the same crew all the time, they like know my act so well to the point where like we can experiment. So like, if you come to the show, like you'll see a lot of experimentation, like with new tricks, new routines that I created maybe the day before, or a couple of days before. So and then that's something that I can't do on tour. So on tour, I'd be doing like just routines that I've already done for years and stuff. So
have you got to connect with other Vegas comedians like Penn and Teller, David Copperfield? Have you got to meet them? Do you guys have like magician kind of like meetings or luncheons
prior to AGT? But like, I got to meet them again afterwards, and it was really cool. They were like, "Oh, congratulations! Like, welcome to Vegas. Welcome to the Magic family." And I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be cool."
Adam, he is so modest right now. Like, it is ridiculous. Like, he's talking like, "Oh, you know," he literally had like the biggest acts in Vegas come see his show. I've seen Chris Angel that came to see his show. You had
Siegfried and Roy
come and see his show. Like, those guys don't leave their house very often, and they came to see his show. That's what a big deal he is out there.
When you guys meet, though, like, are they curious of how you do the tricks, or what, you know, or what? How do those conversations? What do you guys?
So magicians all kind of know how we do each other's tricks. Like, I think once you're kind of in the circle, you just really know everything. So when you're, it's funny, when magicians watch another magician perform, let's just say there was a whole audience of magicians, right? Which does happen. There's many like competitions where like all the magicians would judge a single magician. And usually for the applause cue, when the trick ends, that's when the magicians all applaud for it. That's when people usually applaud for it. But when magicians are watching a performance, we actually sometimes applaud before the effect actually happens. Because for magic, if you don't really know, like a lot of the stuff happens before the actual end effect with our sleights, whether we're using the right misdirection and stuff like that. And so magicians, we kind of see that performance on that end. It's like a totally different way of looking at it. So yeah, we talk about that rather than like, oh, you fooled me on this trick. It's more so like, wow, the way you accomplished that one move was so smooth, or it was so fast or so quick.
And didn't you fool Penn and Teller on their show, though?
Yeah. I mean, it's that show's, you know, it's platformed to, it's more of a show. I mean, it's, you know, fool.
So did you actually fool them then?
I mean, I can't say too much, but.
I love it.
But is there, when, you know, you deal with all these other magicians, there's, you know, there's a lot of shows in Vegas, but realistically, there's not that many. Is there any jealousy among other magicians, or is it camaraderie, or how is it with everyone?
I mean, so far I felt pretty good. Like, I mean, I'm pretty new to the town, so hey, who knows? You know, drama kind of evolves over time. But yeah, I mean, it's been all right so far. So far, I haven't felt any sort of animosity or anything like that. No. Then again, I haven't really gone to any Vegas parties yet. So I've been just so focused on like my show right now, setting it up and everything.
That's a cool thing about you, because how long have you actually been doing magic?
I've been doing magic for 11 years. So I started 11 years ago when I was six.
I mean, you're a young guy, but it's really not that long that you've been doing it compared to all the other guys.
That's correct. You're right. Because magicians usually start younger. They usually start like 9, 8 years old. So I was considered like a late bloomer magician or whatever.
Have you had any celebrities in the show since you've been in Vegas? Any celebrity attendees?
Not that I know of. Although there was, I know Jim Jeffries was in the audience. Yes, last Sunday. And then, you know Jim Jeffries? He's Australian comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to see his show so bad, but I couldn't make it. His show is actually after mine. In theater, yeah. Yeah. Gabriel Iglesias as well. Yeah. That's so far, that's all I could remember. I feel like sometimes they do go in, but like they're like unseen almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Who's been the biggest celebrity that you've got to meet since being on AGT?
Oh, wow. I mean, so many, right? But I guess like the most, oh man, that's a tough question. I mean, like Ellen's huge, right? I got to meet her. Like, yeah, like Jimmy Fallon's huge as well.
Any celebrity like at the airport walk up to you and be like, "Oh my God, you're Shin. This is awesome." Like, any like celeb fan moments, or someone kind of up to you and fangirl out?
Not that I can remember. No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know why. I just can't. Seem to recall any like random like moments where I met them on the street. Actually, to be honest, I don't think I've ever met a celebrity like while I'm walking on the street.
Oh no,
for real? Yeah, no, I've never like bumped into a celebrity.
Well, you kind of bumped into Shaq, so there's that.
That's true. I didn't. I think that was a different scenario.
Yeah. Let me ask you this: when you do AGT, what is the audition process like? Like, how did that come about? Did they find you? Did you wait online for people? What did, how'd that go down?
So for me, I had always known about AGT, like, ever since I first started Magic. And I was like, okay, AGT is kind of like a good platform for me to go up and like compete in, because I felt like it was the most fair. So that's when I decided to submit like some of my videos and stuff like that. And so the producers would see submissions, you can submit online, and your acts, and once they find you, they like you, and then they contact you, they're like, hey, you want to come up? So because I kind of did that pre-audition of like having my video approved by the judges, I didn't really have to do the whole wait in line thing, so I got to skip that process and go straight to the judges, which was nice.
Now, are you ever nervous as a magician being on a television show so that people can now rewind, rewatch your trick, zoom in, focus on it? Because I can tell you, I've watched a couple of your acts numerous times going, how the fuck did he do that? And I have to rewind it, and like my whole family will be sitting there and we're all analyzing it. Does that make you nervous that being on TV is going to give up your trick? Because I don't see like Lance Burton doing a lot of like TV stuff now.
Yeah, totally. That's a good question. So when I, for some reason, don't ask me why, but when I, ever since I was, you know, 18, 19, when I created new acts, I would always make them camera friendly. So what I would do is I would record them on my little camcorder, and I'd perform the whole trick. And once I was done, I would rewind and watch it over. And if I could see, if I could see how it was done from me watching it, then I would force myself to change the trick, just so that if I record it again, and then no matter how many times I rewind it, I wouldn't really figure it out.
Has there been any of your tricks that people figured out and they like tweeted you and said, oh, I saw you do this on camera. Was the angle gave it away or anything?
No, it wouldn't be so much the angle give it away. It would be more so like, oh, I figured out like how, I think I know how this works, or I know how that works. You're palming the card here, or you put the card in your pocket secretly at this point, or like at like 5 minutes and 40 seconds.
And do you have any involvement with producers and say, hey, I need you to film me from this angle, not from this angle?
I feel like good, they question, kind of understand where to shoot, because it's mostly, as long as it's this angle, so all I need to do is it's shooting from 120 degrees. As long as it doesn't go past that 120 degree mark, and definitely not from behind.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much, I'm all good, because yeah, as long as they don't pass that point, then it's like, okay. Because as long as they don't see what I'm seeing, then yeah, then I'm fine.
Then you're good.
But there are some tricks that I can do completely 360, but it doesn't, you know, those tricks aren't the impressive ones though.
How long does it take you to come up with a new trick? Like when you, like, what is the thought process? You know, how long does it come to you master it? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of differs. Sometimes it can take 5 years. Sometimes it takes a month. Sometimes it takes a day. It just all depends on like the creative process. Like sometimes it just comes to you, and sometimes, yeah. It's just different all the time.
And are you?
That's interesting.
And are you pretty much, since you're in Vegas right now, are you just pretty much not doing anything during the day, trying to prep for your show that night? Are you going a little like crazy? You're just living your life.
It's awesome that for Vegas. So they all, everyone in my crew here knows exactly how to set up the show, so I can walk in and just perform. So during the day, I'm moving houses, but. Before, I was like, I would just be creating new stuff for the show, trying to change up the show. Like the show has changed probably 10 times already since I've, oh no, 20 times. Yeah, 20 times since I've started, like in July, I believe.
And so
it's just been changing.
When you want to add a new trick in, like, do you just go in that night and say, hey guys, just a heads up, I'm adding a new trick in? Or is it like, we have to get everyone to sit down, we now have to plan the whole thing out, we've got to involve call in so that he knows, like, how does that all work?
I have to get it approved first, so I get it approved by my wife. She's the director of the whole show, so I'm like, hey, can I put this in the show? And then she'll say, no, it's not good enough. Then I'll say, okay, great, I'll come up with a different trick. And so once
go ahead, keep going, sorry.
Yeah, so once it's approved, then I run it by my stage manager, Amelia, and then she'll then have to approve it as well, because she has to be like, okay, it's worth putting it in, or it doesn't have like the time limit, because we're restricted by 90 minutes for the show, so we have to stick by that. And so she has to approve that. And so once they both approve, then we run it by the whole team and say, okay, guys, we're going to put this in the show. And then
quite the process.
Yeah, that is quite the process. That's why, like, if it was just up to me, I'd probably make like 100 changes to the show by now. But it's probably good that I have some filters to keep me not going too crazy.
Is it the most embarrassing thing when someone figures out the trick, though, for you? Or is that like, man, I need to do a better job?
I need to do a better job. Because for me, like, I don't really see me as trying to like fool someone, like, haha, got you. Like, I'm not trying to do that. I feel like I'm just, it's almost, I look at magic or sleight of hand, like playing the piano, and it's really the same thing. Like when you see the inner workings of a trick, like, not all tricks, just usually mind tricks. Like if you look at my tricks and you try to either reverse engineer, or if I teach it to you, you'll see that it's really difficult. It's not easy. So it's
good. Now, because you do a lot of sleight of hand, do you get tired of people come up to you and be like, show me a trick, show me a trick, do you have a card, deck of cards, show me a trick?
You know, that actually doesn't happen as often as I thought it would.
I don't know how well I'll do on podcasts, but is that the most annoying thing? Is it annoying when people come up to you and ask to like see a trick for you?
It doesn't happen like as much as it did before. It happened more when I was younger. Like when I was a kid, like, and I was doing tricks at school, like all my friends would be like, oh, do another one.
I just gotta feel like you walk into a party and everyone's like, that guy, we need tricks now. Because people love magic, and like that is the biggest thing. Like when I see a magician at a party, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what girl does not like that? That's the best pickup line.
Well,
like,
yeah,
hey,
that's why I did magic. I thought it'd get me a girlfriend. That was like my, that was the whole reason why I did it.
So it worked on your wife then when you guys first met?
No, I barely did magic to her, actually.
So this place that you're staying in the Mirage, do they give you a pretty sweet hotel room?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess right now, but it's a nice suite. It has a nice view of the strip and everything. So.
That's sick. I've always wondered how big of a room they set up to their performers. And now, is that for anyone that's performing at the Mirage? They give them like a pretty sweet?
I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like a standard room for the artist.
Have you enjoyed Vegas nightlife yet?
I actually haven't. I don't know. I'm more like a chill guy. Like, I hang out with my friends. Like, we just like get together. Like, I don't know. It's more like house parties that I usually go to.
Well, have you gone at least, since you're working in the casino and you're in Vegas now, do you at least have like unlimited at the buffet now?
Yeah, I get to go to any MGM property, which is pretty sweet.
That's insane, dude. That's a great perk.
So are you traveling around, checking out the buffets at all the different places?
Absolutely. We just went to the Aria, had some Thai food there. It was lemongrass. Have you been there before? Oh, so good. Yeah, I had lemongrass at the Aria last night.
So would you say that's your favorite, or which place would you recommend to someone coming into town?
I think so far it was the Aria.
Really?
At lemongrass. Yeah, that would have to be my favorite restaurant. I mean, I'm a little bit biased because it's like Southeast Asian cuisine, and like my parents are originally from Singapore, so like I love like that type of food, like the Southeast Asian food.
Now, does this perk continue on once you move out of the Mirage and into your own house?
It continues, yes.
Nice! That is awesome.
I'll take you out decks one day.
I love it. I gotta imagine not a lot of artists are using that, because most people don't want to be necessarily in public all the time. Like, I like that you stroll through the Mirage. I see photos on your Instagram of you and your wife grabbing lunch, grabbing dinner, like, in the casino. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, I can see why some people would get, like, who don't want to do that, because you do get, like, stopped every now and then, because your face is plastered on the freaking
everywhere.
People are going to see like the correlation, but no, it's fine. I mean, and also because I'm living in the hotel, I'm bound to run into people. So I've just kind of gotten used to that fact and just, sorry, it's like a part of the daily routine.
Doesn't David Copperfield have a museum there? Have you been to, I heard that David Copperfield has some warehouse or museum type thing. What is that? Explain to me. And have you been?
So it's like a museum of all the I've actually never been inside it, so I don't know too much about it, but I've heard a lot of things about it, and I believe it's all these antiques of magic and very historical art pieces from magic, and they're all magic related, and David's just collected it over the years, and now he's just showing it off, especially on his day offs, I guess, or when he's done finishing the show at MGM.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing about David Copperfield. I met him during the summer. I was the biggest David Copperfield fan. For some reason, I remember when he did Broadway, my parents brought me to go see him on Broadway, and when he used to do the specials on CBS, and he was in the, I guess it was in the box, and went off the Niagara Falls. I love David Copperfield, and I met him for the first time this summer, and I was like, really kind of, it shocked to see him because he still looks like the exact same. Like, he's just still really dark black hair, and he's kind of like a frail-ish type guy. The guy gets the hottest women. The guy, I'm telling you, the girl he was with was gorgeous. She was so hot. Really was. That was a story for myself, not for you, Shin, but, you know, that was, David, that was just me just talking about. Oh, man, the girl
David
was
Copperfield.
Gorgeous.
Of course he's going to get women. He's
interesting dude.
Who, Shin, who would you rank the top magician out there?
Ooh, like number one.
Number one magician in your eyes, you being, I know you don't call yourself necessarily a magician, more of an illusionist, or what is your technical?
Sleight of hand artist, yeah.
So, sleight of hand artist, but who would you consider the creme de la creme number one magician?
Ooh, that's a tough. You're putting me in the spot because now all the other.
I know, but come on, this is a good one because yeah. my you know, opinion may not matter, but yours does.
Wow, there's a lot, but I would probably have to say, I think from what he's been through to what he's like accomplished, there's a blind magician by the name of Richard Turner. You heard of this guy? He has a documentary called Delt. Check it out. It's really good.
And he's your number one magician?
From just seeing like all the circumstances that's happened to him. He can do tricks that fools the crap out of any magician, and he's blind.
Does Carrot Top get the respect he deserves?
I've actually never seen Carrot Top show. I mean, I've seen a lot of his stuff on TV, but I've actually never seen his show live, so I've never delved much into Carrot Top.
What about Chris Angel?
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of flack from magicians.
Why do you think that is, though?
It's because of his look, yeah.
No, nothing to do with his look. I mean, anyone can, you know. Be
I think like, the look makes him look interesting more than anything, right? It, like, catches your eye.
Yeah, way even more so than even David Blaine, which I love. Like, David Blaine's one of my all-time inspirations.
But do you think it was... Do you think it's because Chris Angel has gone around, like, dating big celebrities and stuff?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Copperfield does pretty much the same.
Yeah, true.
You just don't ever see Copperfield, like, ever.
I think Chris Angel, because he was like really over the top with his magic back in the day, and so like that's just kind of, I guess some magicians maybe found it cringeworthy or whatever, you know, and some didn't like it. I liked it. as a kid when I was watching it, I was like, this guy's real. Like, he can actually do real magic. Like, I found him so cool. But I know a lot of my friends were like, oh, he sucks. So
what about the amazing Jonathan?
I met him recently. He's a really nice guy in person.
He's one of those guys that never really super talented. I mean, maybe because, again, I'm a young guy and he's been around for a long time, but did he get the, should he have been become bigger?
Probably. Absolutely.
Because he was so funny, that guy. What a show.
Yeah. Yeah. I would actually consider him more like comedy magic rather more so than magic. Like, he's really, really, really funny. Like, all the stuff he does.
Adam, before we lose Shin, because he's going to have to run here in a couple minutes, but I have to tell you, if you go to Vegas, you need to go watch his show. So I saw it a couple months ago. It's awesome. And Shin, I got to tell you, Colin Cloud is probably one of the funniest guys out there. So Colin is his fellow magician. What is he? A mentalist? A mentalist, right?
Yeah.
He is so goddamn funny. I was crying laughing because of the things that he says, and it's off the top of his head. He is so witty. They are such a perfect combination up on stage.
It's a big dynamic because he's like, mine's very serious, and it's like a lot of music, and then his is funny, and it's talking, and it's mentalism. So it's cool.
It's a great combo, and so Adam, if you get out there, go see it.
I don't know if I have to go see you perform, but I also want to just eat at the buffet with you because I feel like you know all the good buffets in Vegas. So One or the other. I don't know what I want to do more with you, but
we'll do both.
I do.
Watch
Jax was telling me about the show. Jax was telling me that the show is great.
You'll love it.
Yeah, it's he was so amazed good. By you.
So anyway, so thank you again, Shin. I know you got to run. We told you we'd get you out of here on a certain time. So we are going to stick by that. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck on your moving, and please don't call Adam or I. We don't like moving.
All right, I won't.
We don't
I
like won't. Moving couches. Okay. I have no truck to land. I'm sorry. But anyway, again, thank you for joining us. And where can people find you on social media?
At Shinlin Magic.
Shinlin Magic. All right. Thank you, Shin.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Later. A Parkville Media Production.